We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bubblicious bubblegum still a thing, right?
I don't know if it is or not,
man. I
don't
think it would be.
I don't know.
I haven't checked the candy aisle as much during the pandemic.
No, you're in and out now, pretty much, right?
But Bubblicious was a fantastic bubblegum at one point in time that I remember.
Flavor lasted like 3 seconds.
And so, it's still a thing.
Okay, I thought it was.
I like the watermelon one.
Bubblicious and Hubba Bubba, why would they go anywhere? There's no reason.
I forgot about Hubba Bubba.
Hubba Bubba was good, too.
There's no reason for those to go anywhere.
Nope.
Right now the bubbles are great, right? Everybody thinks the bubble, everybody in sports thinks the bubble's great.
Oh, the bubble's fantastic.
Bubbles are fantastic.
Right?
Yeah. Just put a bubble over it.
Like, what do like, people think? You just walk around and just dome things?
It's like
set
it and forget it.
Yeah,
it's
it really
like the
is.
Bubble.
Yeah.
It's like the bubble, the bubble, the bubble.
The bubble, the bubble,
and,
the bubble.
And I keep saying, yeah, the bubble has been great. The bubble is great for MLS, for the NBA, for the NHL, mm-hmm. who are all trying to finish out their seasons.
You do realize like this is like March Madness this month where you've got games starting at noon and all kinds of sports.
It's great. Yes. Let's finish these seasons. Do what you got to do. Get them in a confined space. Go, mm-hmm. go.
Yep.
I don't find it as feasible for a full length season.
Well, I don't either.
I don't think players are going to agree to it. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you could say, well, tough. You're going to play or you're not going to play. Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying if the bubble was presented to Major League Baseball players, and you're going to play the full 162 in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm talking about the full bubble.
Right.
Like nobody in,
mm-hmm.
no
mm-hmm.
families in, no nothing. They're not doing it.
Well, and it's just right? not feasible. There's really no place that you could do a bubble like they're doing right now. Maybe the Disney baseball complex, but it's already been taken over by the NBA.
Yeah,
they got dibs.
Not to the extent. And the spring training has a lot of homes or a lot of baseball stadiums, but they're not all right in one area.
You can't bubble a whole city.
So those things would be very difficult. And I just think the buy-in from the players isn't going to happen.
Right,
it's
especially
not
gonna happen
for a long period of time. Now the NBA ones.
Baseball players don't want to do anything out of their comfort
zone. Now the NBA, if you're like Major League Soccer, you're in essentially for, Sporting's back.
Yep.
So they were in about a month.
Mm-hmm.
The championship game, I think, is a week from today.
Okay.
Of this tournament. So
about 5 weeks or so.
So they're in, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kind of doable. I think the NBA is a little bit longer
mm-hmm.
if you make it to the NBA finals.
Right.
But also after the first round of the tournament, presumably you're going to be allowed people
right.
in.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Assuming everything's going
to be
well.
Allowed bubble crashers, and, Instagram models, whoever you want.
Yeah. And I would think they're going to allow it or that league will shut down. Like
yeah, right.
they will say we're not doing this.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It feels like that they're doing this now, but if you ask for much more, they ain't gonna do it.
Right.
Right. So I think it makes sense for shorter windows. For baseball, if you're playing the full time, no, even 60 plus playoffs would be tough.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL's 16 weeks plus postseason.
Right.
And
you're talking a bye week. And so then you're going to let people out of the bubble on their bye week. And you know,
yeah. And in there's not a gathering of a bunch of football stands where you play.
Well, and that's
three
the
games
other thing,
a day, right?
You got to think about logistics
very, very
and all this, like facilities. And, you know, people keep saying, and I think a lot of it's the casual sports fan that you see on Twitter, or it's the know-it-alls. Well, the NFL can't play unless they're in a bubble. Well, I totally disagree with that, and we'll talk about that in 1 second. And the second part of that is, they're logistically speaking, is no place in America where you can bubble things. And if you want to bubble things, then you're limiting the reach of games that can be played on TV. Like the NBA is playing games right now during the day. The NHL is playing games during the day. But the NFL is a Sunday, once a week sport that has standalone games that, you know, makes their nut off of that TV dollar. They're not going to start sacrificing, you know, their TV dollar to try to play three games in one stadium on the same day, which wouldn't even be feasible. So there's just really no place that you can set up an NFL bubble and have the facilities and the infrastructure in place to even pull something like that off. And quite honestly, I just don't think it's needed right now in the National Football League. Maybe later in the year, it'll prove me wrong. And I've been proven wrong a lot in life, as we all have. But I just don't think right now a bubble is necessary for the NFL. I think the NFL has had the benefit of time to watch how all the other sports leagues are doing it. And I truly believe the best thing that happened to the NFL was the Florida Marlins.
Judy Batista, NFL Network, does say that the NFL's not ruling out some type of bubble.
He didn't rule anything out. He said everything is on the table. They've been very clear that they expect their procedures to evolve and change during the course of the season. But he did also emphasize the football season is 6 months long. He said that is longer than we have been dealing with this pandemic. In the United States, 6 months is a long time, sort of suggesting the idea of putting an entire football season, an entire league in a bubble for 6 months is just not tenable.
And that's Judy Batista talking about Roger Goodell. Mm-hmm. I mean, could they do it in the postseason?
Maybe.
And
I wouldn't mind the postseason bubble.
If you get to the point where you're not going to have fans.
What's it matter? Wouldn't you rather play the games in nice climate-controlled areas instead of, you know?
Although it sounds like we're going to have some type of fans everywhere. So that might
except in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that might be out anyway. But, yeah, if you get to a postseason time, but then again, that's a ways off. So, but if you get to that point in time and want to ensure the safety of your postseason, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get to that point where you go, okay, let's just put everybody in one location and – or two locations and put the NFC in one location, AFC in the other location and whittle it down from there. Maybe that's
something you do. Maybe you play a doubleheader at those stadiums or whatnot. Two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday in the early rounds of the playoffs. But I talked to somebody in the league yesterday about, you know, testing results and what's going on in the NFL. And the answer that I got back in return was fantastically well. I mean, and so I think right now, everybody in the NFL is pretty pleased with the way things are going. In fact, I think they thought it would probably be worse with everybody just arriving back into town. You know, wherever you've been and whatever you've been doing the last couple of months, you know, you haven't been here. You've been in different parts of the country. You've been mingling with people and, you know, being a human being. And so coming back in, they figured they would probably have a few more tests positive than they have right now. But fantastically well was the comment that I got back. And they said, hopefully by Super Bowl time, we'll be rolling with fans. And when you hear reports coming from league officials that are saying those type of things and are having those glowing results right now at this point in time, that tells me they've done the right things and that the NFL has really set themselves up to have a lot of success with the way that they're doing things right now when it comes to handling training camp and when it comes to handling the regular season. Now, obviously, you're still reliant on human beings to make the right decisions away from the facilities. But again, I said the Florida Marlins are the best thing to happen to the NFL because I know a lot of those guys are looking around and seeing what the Florida Marlins did and what the casino going St. Louis Cardinals are doing right now, the casino Cardinals, the St. Louis casinos, however you want to call them.
Cardinals.
I mean, you know, however you want to call them, people are looking around at that and going, all right, we don't want that to happen to us. We don't want to risk our checks. We don't want to risk our money. We don't want to risk what we have going on right now. Let's make sure everybody behaves when they're away from the facility. And so I think the NFL is really set up for success. And again, I could be wrong about that, but all the information that I have from the people that I talk to that are involved in what's going on in the NFL right now, I'm making an educated decision that this is working right now for the NFL. And the need for a bubble, while people want to talk about that, I just think that's the doomsdayer, the person who doesn't really know what's going on, and the, you know, launch a grenade to get clicks on their website type stuff that says you need a bubble in the NFL right now, because I just don't believe we're at that point where we need a bubble. And I don't even think we need a bubble in Major League Baseball right now. Again, it's been isolated to two teams that have been rolling craps and hanging out at bars.
Yeah, the Misty Marlins and the Casino Cardinals.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's pretty evident that when you follow the rules and you do what you're supposed to do, these plans work. And these, you know, these fail safes that they put in place are very effective. But again, it's up to the human beings and you can't control every human being. But you like to believe at this point in time, if you're a professional athlete, you're going to do what's necessary to get your money
or
as well.
Or threaten the bubble.
Or threaten the bubble. Or you get your ass beat.
By
your teammates.
Who was the one guy?
Jamie Collins.
Jamie Collins, yes. I don't know why I keep forgetting his name. Jamie Collins. I'm afraid of Jamie Collins, and I'm not messing with his money. Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, drops by for his weekly visit next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
They were beaming up the spaceship there for a moment. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that was really odd.
It is. It is a Tuesday. It is at 7:30. So you know what that means?
Time to talk Chiefs.
We chat Chiefs with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Tuesdays at 7:30. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, men. And we're getting closer. We're getting closer in this cooler weather. I know we're going to get crushed again with real August weather, but the last several days, man, just makes you think. Let's do this. And Kling, and Bob, you got to just be a little, just give a little patience to Kling today. He was up late last night in meetings.
Yeah, oh, was he? Really? I heard that you guys did have a big time email exchange about, you know, getting ready and you guys actually practicing. So Kling needs all the practice he can get.
I've been running tires as well, Mitch, so I'm good.
Well, and masks on, socially distanced.
Of course.
We're good.
Of course.
The shields in front. And so Kling, scat protection, 936 F razor, why choice? What are you doing?
Ready break.
What are you doing? Now, what are you doing? See, Bob, see how this works?
Yeah. I'm
he doesn't know, Mitch.
I'm letting Tyreek run down the field, and I'm going to loft it to him.
Come on, Kling. We got to bring him along, Bob.
You do. You're going to be dragging this guy along across the finish line, Mitch. I mean, you're really going to be dragging him across the finish line. My prayers go out to you. I've been with him 10 years, so I know what it's like, my friend.
Wow.
You know, and the NFL has these coaching fellowships. They'll bring in, like, intern coaches. And Dave Alpert, who's the director of all things intercom, the grand poobah, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like the graduate student coach. And so he's got this old T-shirt, looks like Mumford PE on it or something or whatever. And then have you ever seen the classic movie of our time, Mr. Woodcock?
No.
You know, it's epic movie.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton. That's Dave Alpert as Billy Bob Thornton and Mr. Woodcock. That's our football. That's our practices, Bob.
All right. Well, I got to go watch that movie now so I can see what you guys are doing behind the scenes. And so if you ever need me to, like, phone in from the couch during the games, I'll be available for you guys as well in case Kling drops the ball.
Yeah, good. We'll keep that in mind. But if we don't call, don't worry about it.
No, I won't. Believe me, I won't. I don't get good service at the house anyway. Hey, what are the Chiefs losing with Damian Williams opting out? I feel like I'm president of his fan club. I love the way he plays. What do you feel like they're losing with him opting out?
Well, they're losing. I mean, you can't. Okay, two things here. One, Andy Reid has taught me the whole next man up. You got to move on, push on. If I've learned nothing from that dude in 8 years. To see what he has done, to not blink, not flinch, and getting through flashpoints. That being said, Damian Williams now, you're talking, there's a blend of speed and power. I mean, he's right there to 4.39, 4.4. We saw that throughout the playoffs the last 2 years. He's really good in the passing game. There's enough power that he could get short yardage. So he's got this blend to him that with the current roster of running backs, someone's going to have to prove that. And we can get to Clyde Edwards-Helaire here in a second. But Damian's got – there's something to him. And that 38-yard run to immortality wasn't a mistake. He's a tackle breaker, excellent pass receiver, and a pretty good pass protector. Go back and watch the pass play to Sammy Watkins on the pass play to the outside, to the boundary, and he makes it the key block because he's got to go over and help on Nick Bosa. So – there's a lot going out the door there, at least this year, as he opts out, and prayers to him and what he's going through with his family. But this group that remains has got to piece it together because there is a void with Damian opting out this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And it seems to me that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is getting more conversation, more talked about in the national media. The man, maybe any other rookie I've seen, I've never seen everybody so on board with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Healthy dose of skepticism, a lot with the quarterbacks,
sure.
Right? First round picks, and you're right, Bob. I feel like Mitch that with this guy, it's just like, oh, he's pretty automatic. I've never seen a first rounder that there's seemingly not a lot of questions about from everybody else. Like they'll just plug it in. He's with Andy Reid. It'll be fine.
Well, and let's just pump the brakes a little bit on him. And I think that's what Andy would say too, but I'm going to reverse the plus minus here with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And let's start with the plus. I've mentioned before, he looks like Sproles to me. To me, is there enough power on short yardage to get, hey, third and two? It's a spread set. He's the single back, but we're going to run him on a delay or a draw. And can he break a tackle in the between the tackles? I know he can break tackles out in space, and he's proven that at LSU. But he's still a rookie. That's where we got to pump the brakes on him. And the thing about – here's the real question, guys, of most of your listeners. Do I take him as the RB1 on my fantasy team?
Let's
just break it. Let's get it down to reality here, right? And with Andy Reid, I'm not sure there's ever been an RB1. Maybe Kareem Hunt during that rookie season that he had. But Andy likes to spread it around. He likes to have different things he can do in different situations and be less predictable. So the rest of this crew, there's six running backs on the roster right now. And if you look at DeAndre Washington and Darwin Thompson, they're kind of similar in their skill set. So that means Darrell Williams, to me, becomes important in his rehab and what he's got, because he becomes a little bit of a poor man's Damian Williams, and that doesn't have the speed, but he's got the power to get short yardage. So there's some intrigue there, but honestly, the running back position to me with Andy Reid's always been like an algebraic equation. There's just several variables there that he likes to use, and he likes to have that multiplicity.
What do you expect out of DeAndre Washington? Because I think that's kind of flown under the radar as a nice little pickup in this offseason.
Yeah, nice. I liked him in Oakland. I didn't like him in Oakland when he was doing good things, but I kind of liked him in Oakland. I
mean,
there again is a skill set. One, he's got the advantage of being around Mahomes as a college player. And so I think that'll help him along in understanding the offense. But there's a lot to running back. When we pick RB1s in fantasy leagues, we don't have pass protection down as one of our things in our league, unless you're in some really unique, cool league that takes into account pass protection by running backs. And in this offense, it is – well, in the NFL, it's essential, but in this offense, it's imperative because Andy likes to have five-and-a-half-man protections, meaning he wants to get guys out on routes, but he doesn't want to do it at the sake of just being careless in your protection schemes. It's what Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona has got to figure out in the NFL. It's not college because there's a kill shot waiting on every play. So that means your running back, you're basically your .5 protector in Andy's offense many times is the key guy. That's where Damian Williams did a really good job. As I mentioned, if you go back and look at the video several times last year, he made a key just a fraction of a second a block that allowed Patrick Mahomes to make the play. So that now becomes an essential for everyone, including DeAndre Washington, and that's what I have to see yet.
Talking with Mitch Holthus here on 610 Sports Radio, as we do every Tuesday at 7:30 leading up to the regular season. And we were talking last segment, Mitch, about the potential of a bubble in the NFL, which I don't think is very feasible and logical. But I think right now, from everybody that I've talked to, man, like, everybody's pretty pleased with the way things are going in the NFL. What has your experience been like out there so far?
Yeah, for the most part. But here we go. Again, Burkholder was in front of the media. Rick Burkholder, the vice president for athletic performance and athletic training and poobah of all that. But he really, really is brilliant. You know, he's maybe after Tammy Reid, maybe the second call that Andy said, hey, I'm going to Kansas City, you're going with me, and we're going to win. And Rick was still under contract with Philadelphia at the time, and that all got worked out. But it tells you how much Andy thinks of Rick Burkholder. Rick Burkholder, again, like many of the folks in the Chiefs organization, if they're not the best at what they do in the league, they're near the top. And honestly, the Chiefs, Bob, have taken the lead here, and a lot of the NFL teams are looking to the Chiefs. So the league has said, or the NFLPA has said, hey, look at what the Chiefs are doing because it's working. So for the most part, the NFL seems to have it working. But again, we're in the embryonic stages of this. But I'm really kind of proud of the Chiefs for what they've done. Now, I would direct people to I had a chance to drill down even further with Rick. This is, even if heads of families, heads of companies, there's a Defending the Kingdom podcast. You can just, you know, Spotify, the way you can get to the YouTube, or get to YouTube or get to the podcast, it's called Defending the Kingdom, the First Foe. And Rick really drills down into some postulates more that affect intercom, affect your families when you go home. We want to open schools. How are we going to do that? Rick wants to have a season, and he goes into some things and some axioms that are really good to listen to. It's just defending the kingdom, the first foe. Sean Barber and I do it. But it's basically a drill down with Rick Burkholder, and it will give you an idea of why the Chiefs, to this point, have been pretty successful with this COVID protection.
The NFL 100 list comes out, and Patrick Mahomes is number four and the third quarterback. Nice little chip to put on his shoulder, right?
Yeah, I love that, actually. I hated it and loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what are you guys? Oh, it was a November vote, I guess. Now there's all of these kind of apologies coming out about it. But Russell Wilson at two even is perplexing to me ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson with the year he had last year, okay. And Aaron Donald's a freak. He's like watching Whit Merrifield bat. Like, it's never wrong. But still, okay, good. Just put more gas in Pat's tank, because we saw what he did when he ran off the field in Chicago. The 10 fingers met the 10th pick, right?
Yep.
Of the 2017 draft. Well, he burns anyway. He's not looking for motivation, but just give him some extra motivation and he's got it. So that will carry him. That'll serve him well in keeping him, and his teammates, Kling, fired up.
You know, is there anything else he can do in this town? You know, we haven't talked to you since he purchased part of the Royals. Like, is there anything else he can do to raise his Q rating in Kansas City, Mitch?
Short of finding a vaccine for the COVID pandemic, he may be working on that too.
I was going to say, are you counting him out of that?
Sporting.
He'll buy Sporting.
Nope. Nope. He can buy Sporting. He can find the vaccine. And gosh, I don't know what else after that.
But well, no, bring an NBA team here, right?
Well, yeah, I guess. But he'd have to give some he'd have to provide the corporate backing for it.
Right.
Okay, because we're challenged right now with Royals and Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have enough corporate backing. We're going to say, let's have an NBA team. We have an arena. Well, wow, there's way a lot more to it than that.
Well, we don't even have an owner for it, you know. Like, everybody wants to bring a team here.
Though, I think Pittsburgh, you guys, is the smallest market that has all the four across, I think.
No, they don't have basketball.
They don't have basketball, so they have three.
Right.
Okay, so they're the smallest market that has three. And honestly, if you look, go look at just take the DMAs, basically, the markets, television markets, and look at those and do a cross-section of what franchises they have. I know Jared Sutton's going to be mad at me about this. But if you go down the list, there are very few communities other than the top 12 or so that have three major sports.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't. It just takes so much corporate infrastructure now that it's difficult to do that. So, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is corporate infrastructure. He's his own corporation, basically. So, sure, if he wants to bring a team here, he probably would. He'd probably play. He'd be the point guard for that team. So, but here's seriously, guys, and Bob, we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. It shows you how much he wants to plant his feet here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wants to build his life here, and I mean, he loves it here, and he wants to be at those Royals games. So it's just awesome that he did it. It's genuine. It's not some showpiece.
No, I want to play this cut for you and for the folks listening about this period that we're going through right now. We played it a little earlier in the show, but I think it's one that I want to get you to react about, this acclimation period that's going on and what Patrick Mahomes says about the first week or so of camp.
With no preseason games on, obviously I don't know exactly how that's going to be, because I've never done it before. But I mean, going back to college, I think you know that there has been times where you have to get to those first games and it's serious. You got to make sure you go out there and try to win football games. So I'll try to lean on that, as well as I feel like when you have this acclimation period, it will help guys build up and make sure their bodies are prepared. I feel like that was what was most important. Other than, I mean, the preseason games are something that help a lot of guys out, but I think the health of the players and having this acclimation period to get everybody ready to go, so that when we do hit the field, they're ready to go.
So this acclimation period, I think, is important. Andy Reid has won 11 straight games in the month of September. He's got extra time now to prepare for the rest of the NFL. How vital is this week and this upcoming week, so to speak, for the Kansas City Chiefs and really for the rest of the NFL to start getting scared again?
Bob, let's pause here a second. Think about what you just said. 11 consecutive September victories.
Mm-hmm.
11. And I went back, and 7 of those 11 were on the road.
Oh, wow.
It's really one of the underrated stats in looking at the Chiefs and Andy Reid over the last several years. But I've learned a lot of things from Andy Reid in 8 years, going back to five paragraphs ago. And that is, every day counts big time. Basically, what Andy Reid is doing, what I've picked up here, is he's scrunching in the OTAs, OSPs, and mini camps into this period. Now, it's limited in what they can do, understanding it is basically lifting and running and conditioning. But knowing Andy, he knows who maximizes these next 10 days from a football standpoint and put everything on speed dial and, you know, instant oatmeal here. Who maximizes these 10 days will be the leaders in winning and success early in this season. I can't imagine what Matt Rhule is doing with Carolina. As a brand-new NFL coach, thinking, how am I doing this? What are we supposed to do? What do I do on this Tuesday? What do I do on this Wednesday? Andy Reid had that all figured out as soon as he got the rules. And so this 10-day period, seemingly, well, there's not much going on. They're running around in shorts. No, sir. This is a very important period for Andy Reid. He's trying to get 3 months' work done in just a several days. And if the Chiefs hit the ground running again, like they have done, and to extend the September winning streak, it'll be largely in part with what gets done in this acclimation period. Pat's right. And Pat knows. He's been around coach enough. He knows that this time now is essential.
You know, one guy, again, that kind of went under the radar for us because we were so focused on who wasn't going to be here was Osemele from the Jets coming over and getting signed here. How big of a move is that for the Chiefs?
I think it could be huge. That's why I requested. He's in front of the media today, but I get some time with him one-on-one, and that'll be this week's podcast, and Barbershop and I will talk about this. I think it's potentially enormous. Now, what's his shoulder like? How much is left in the tank? I've always liked Kelechi Osemele, and I'll show him today. I've got all my charts down. Oh, here you were as your rookie season. I've saved my charts for all these years. Here you are as a rookie in 12, which he won the Super Bowl. But when you think about just his experience, there's some Mitchell Schwartz here, 96 games, 96 starts. If we get the Kelechi Osemele that came out of Iowa State as a second-round pick and that made the Pro Bowl with the Raiders in 16 and 17, the Chiefs now have a lockdown left guard position. So that means right guard becomes a race for a whole litany of names, 6 or 7 names that could win that spot, including Andrew Wiley, who was the Mackley Hill winner 2 years ago. But Kelechi Osemele, if healthy, could be a giant asset for this team.
Yeah, no doubt. Mitch, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy whatever you can of training camp and whatever you get to do out there these days. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Clang, we got meeting now. And as soon as you get off the air, you got 3 minutes. Go to the bathroom and let's go.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, of course, this season on 106.5 The Wolf. And right here we have a full pre- and post-game coverage as well on your new official broadcast partner, the Chiefs.
And you'll be on the sidelines for the Chiefs game as well. Don't let that little nugget fall by the wayside.
I'm just hoping. Whatever row I'm in, or if it's on the sideline, whatever.
Or if you're in a studio, if you're in Denver,
that's
you're
cool.
Part of the broadcast this year. You will be on the sidelines for the Chiefs game.
Sidelines. We're saying that.
That's
sidelines.
Right. That's great.
If you know the player involved in the play of the game Vern gave you on the postgame show last night, very simple, 913-576-7610 for your chance to win a Topper's Pizza. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
All right, it's time to give away some pizza. It's the Mazarese Jewelers play of the game. Just listen to Vern's postgame to find out what the play of the game is and then be the sixth caller at 7:45 the next morning and know a player involved in the play of the game for your chance to win Topper's Pizza and be qualified to win a $500 gift card from Mazarese Jewelers. We do have our winner of the July prize, and we will announce that tomorrow at this time here on 610 Sports Radio. So be listening, and you could be the winner of a $500 Mazarese Jewelers gift card. Our contestant today, Spike, up in St. Joe.
Spike, can you tell us the player involved in yesterday's play of the game?
Josh Staumont.
Josh Staumont. Let's find out.
Here's the pitch. Curveball swung on and missed, and Schwarber with a futile swing at it.
And Josh Staumont looks brilliant. Strikes out the side. We head to the ninth inning. The Cubs lead it 2-0.
Thank you, Fizz. Indeed, Spike at St. Joe is today's winner. He knew Josh Staumont was the player of the game. He was really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of nice pieces right now, man. Like, they just can't hit.
Dials up 99 like it's nothing.
Yeah, the bullpen's decent enough. They're doing fairly well. The starting staff's good now.
Got a curve there that dropped off the table. Yeah. I really like him out of the pen. He's been kind of fun to watch.
He's been kind of your horse lately. But anyway, we'll get more into the Royals coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But yeah,
I'll be listening to Vern's post-game show tonight. He'll give you a play of the game. You tell us a player involved tomorrow at 7:45 for your next chance to win. We were discussing with Mitch Holtis, and he was raving about an offensive lineman. It's amazing to see that it's not luck, maybe a little foresight involved, whatever, mm-hmm. but you had an opt-out at offensive line and an opt-out at running back.
Right.
And they had a couple of under-the-radar signings before these ever happened
mm-hmm.
that now could really pay dividends. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Washington, the running back.
Yep.
Osemele, the yep. offensive lineman, now could step into two bigger roles, and those could end up being really, really savvy signings of guys that maybe you – we're hoping would have some upside, but weren't necessarily going to be thrust in this position.
Right
now will be.
Mm-hmm.
And if those pan out, you've done a heck of a job. So, I mean, their ability to kind of see those things before they happen, we've talked about in the draft before, but also doing it in kind of free agency are ways you overcome the unexpected.
Well, and I think it's not just the free agent signings, it's the draft too. I mean, you go back and look now at April's draft, and you know, the running back position has been a spot where you and I are like, I don't know if I'd waste a first round draft pick on it, but they got a kid that everybody loves, and now they're really going to need him because you had Damian Williams opt out. And then a little bit later on, what was it, the third round, Lucas Niang, you draft him, and you're like, okay, where's he going to play? Is he going to be a guard? Is he going to be a tackle? Now he has an opportunity to be your starting right guard. I mean, you have an opportunity for your top three draft picks this year to be major, major contributors to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm counting Willie Gay in there as well as a linebacker. I think he's going to be a beast. I think that guy's going to fly all over the field and make tackles, and at the end of the year we're going to be like, whoa, look at this kid, where would we be without his play at the linebacker position? So I think the three picks that the Chiefs had at the top of the draft this year are going to play big time roles for this organization. But again, it's the under the radar stuff that really sets you apart from everybody else. And if DeAndre Washington comes in here and has a really good season, people are going to be, you know, complaining in Las Vegas or Oakland or LA, wherever the Raider fans are now, in that kind of Raider triangle out there in you know, Southern California and Utah, Northern California. They're going to be going, why do we let this kid go? Why do we let him go to the Chiefs, man? Look how good he is. And he probably wouldn't be that good with, you know, John Gruden, the TV star, acting as a head coach right now. He's going to be good because Andy Reid understands what it takes to put guys in position to be successful. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see what he can do for this team. And the other thing that Mitch talked about, and you and I talked about earlier, was that how key September has been for the Chiefs to get off to a great start. And as he mentioned, 11 straight wins, but 7 of those coming on the road as well. I mean, when you can win on the road at that clip in the NFL, you're not going to lose a whole heck of a lot of football games over the course of the season. And so 11 straight wins, 7 of those coming on the road. The Chiefs know how to take care of business early. They know how to take care of business on the road. And clearly they know how to finish off a season as well.
Andy Reid's last loss, September 18th of 2016.
Yeah.
2016, their last loss in the month of September. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? And there's your first sideline report. Josh, let's go down to the sidelines. What do you got? Well,
they're not losing,
you know, Mitch.
They're not losing this one. Right, back to you.
Chiefs have won 11 straight in September, and they don't lose against these AFC teams hardly ever. Back to you. You know,
you
there
better
it is.
Do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that needs to be
everything's going to be my fault if it doesn't pan out.
If it doesn't pan out, yeah, you are screwed. You are definitely
really
screwed.
Setting myself
that,
up for this, but September 2016 is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It is.
They won their last game in September. After that loss, they won the next week.
Mm-hmm.
So 17, 18, 19.
Yeah.
No losses in the first month of the season.
Right. And you get off to a good start. You separate yourself. You beat AFC teams. And you look at who's on the schedule for the first month of this season. AFC, AFC, AFC. Division team, contender, contender. You go 3-0 to start this season in the month of September. You have put so much separation between yourself and everybody else already, not just because you're 3-0, but because of the head-to-head wins. All of a sudden, now you have a two-game lead over Houston. All of a sudden, now you have like a two-game lead essentially over Baltimore. All of a sudden, you have essentially a two-game lead over the Chargers.
Maybe your top team in the division.
Top team in the division, maybe. Who knows? So you have an opportunity to go 3-0. But for all intents and purposes, it's like going 5-0 or 6-0. You know, you're putting everybody at bay, because even if you were to slip up and finish with the same record as the Baltimore Ravens, or the same record as the Houston Texans, or the same record as the Chargers, you're going to have those tiebreakers because you took care of business early in the season. And this is where Andy Reid truly shines. When he has time, when he has the opportunity, and when he has extra hours to prepare for you, he's going to beat you. And that's why I look at that game against the Texans on that Thursday night, and I hate to say it out loud, but I don't. The Texans don't stand a chance. Like, don't even bother coming to Kansas City. There's no reason for you to come here, because the result's going to be the same whether you show up or not. You're going home with a loss.
They just can't buy a break. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.